So at this point, these men were judging him when they had no right to do so. And so it is today that the most deeply spiritual are many times very wrongfully judged. Verse 2, then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled. Now this is one reason that I thought this was rather a harsh man, that he was not in the right spirit. But as we go on, I think that our opinions will change of him. Because the reason he was angry with Job is because that Job justified himself rather than God. And I believe that we summed up that in Job's life in the previous chapter. And so we find that Job had actually defended himself. He had not learned, of course, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. But he defended his own case. He declared how righteous he was and literally how unfair God was when you get right down to it. So we find that that he was not the complete article that God wanted him to be. Verse 4, Elihu waited till Job had spoken because they were older than he, and then he saw there was no answer in the mouths of these men, then his wrath was kindled. Well, he was not only perturbed at Job, but he was a little perturbed at these men because they didn't have anything worth hearing either. And then he began to speak. And in chapter 33, he says, Job, I pray you, hear my words and speeches. Verse 6, I am, according to thy wish, in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Now, in this sense of the word, he is very much typical of Christ. First of all, that he is according to his wish in God's stead. That is, he is a mediator. And he is formed out of the clay, even as Christ was. You see, he came down and partook of flesh and blood, that he might be a faithful high priest and understand us. Verse 8, you have spoken in my hearing. I heard the words of thy, heard the voice saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he finds occasion against me. He counts me for his enemy. Now, while Job may not have uttered these words, yet the attitudes, as we noticed, are indeed present. And what he is saying is, Job, that you have no right to accuse God of dealing with you unjustly. And this is literally what Job said in a few places by his actions and attitudes. Verse 11, he puts my feet in stocks, he marks all my paths. Now, this is something that Job said to Eliphaz, I believe, if you compare this with chapter 13, verse 27. But what we want to notice is sometimes, or many times, we say things to other people that we mean for someone else's ears. And so it was here that he said this to Eliphaz, but he really meant for God to hear it. This is the way that he felt that God had done him. So in verse 12, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. So Job, you're not just in this thing. You are literally blaming God, I guess, in the wrong way, and not justifying God, but rather yourself. It says, why dost thou strive against him? And this is what Job was doing, because you see, he did not fully see at this time what God was trying to do. Now, undoubtedly, as we meditate upon this, undoubtedly, Job began to wonder about some of the things that these other men said. Well, maybe what they're saying is right. Maybe I have done something wrong. And then he begins to put all the pluses down here. Well, it couldn't be this, couldn't be this, couldn't be this, couldn't be this, you see. And just began to take inventory and declare, well, after a while, well, you know, I am pretty good, you see. This, of course, is absolutely the wrong attitude. But what we find here, verse 13, why dost thou strive against him? In other words, Job, you're saying that God has no right to treat you this way. He gives not account of any of his matters. God doesn't have to tell us why he's doing this in my life. He doesn't have to tell me why he allowed this trial. God is not accountable to me for what he does and allows to come my way. Many times he clues me in into some things, but God is not bound to tell me everything that he's doing in my life. He doesn't have to account of his matters. He speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumbers upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. And so we find that God had a work to do in Job, and I believe that what he is saying in these few verses, he speaks once in verse 14 and twice, but man doesn't perceive it. We wouldn't really understand everything that God is working in our lives. And I think this is true, that we would not fully understand what all that God is working today. But in that day we shall know, even as we also are known. And then in verse 17, that he may withdraw man from his purpose. And so man's purpose, of course, is to be independent of God, to be very proud, and pride being one of man's greatest enemies. Well, God is faithful to keep us from that. And then in verse 24, he is gracious unto him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom. Well, this is where we were headed. We were headed down to the pit of hell, and he found a ransom, which was in Jesus Christ, and he delivered us. I think so wonderfully expressed in verse 25 is the new birth. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. How do you get that? Except by the new birth, by becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. He shall return to the days of his youth. And so we're literally born again. It's no wonder that Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, and then spoke to him, except you enter again into his mother's womb. You see, in his flesh indeed come again as a little child. Verse 26, he shall pray unto God, he will be favorable unto him, he shall see his face with joy, he shall render unto man his righteousness. And this is what has happened unto us. God has rendered unto us the very righteousness of Christ. Verse 27, he looks upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, that is, he recognizes and admits that he's a sinner, and perverted that which is right, and it profited not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. And there again, just acknowledge that a man is a sinner, that he needs the righteousness of Christ. This is the only thing that a man must do in order to be saved. Absolutely the only thing that he is required to do. Verse 32, if thou hast anything to say, answer me. Speak, I desire to justify you. Job, I desire to justify you and place you where you ought to be. If not, hearken to me, hold your peace, I shall teach thee wisdom. And so, as I say, this man really does, I believe, have the good of Job at hand, or in his mind, and his at heart. In verse 5 of chapter 34, he says, Job has said, I am righteous, God has taken away my judgment. So you see, Job had declared his own righteousness, and again I say we just cannot pick out all the pluses in our lives and weigh them up and say that God has no right to do what he's doing. He said, shall I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. Who is like Job, who drinks up the scorning like water, which goes in company with the workers of iniquity and walks with wicked men? He has said, it profits a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. And therefore hearken to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. So you see that he is saying here now, Job, you're saying by your attitudes and by your words that God is not doing righteously. Well, God always does righteously. And so whatever he allows in my life, then it expresses the righteousness of God, that he is right. Now, I kind of hate to say words like that sometimes, because boy, are they ever hard to eat. But nevertheless, it's the truth. Whatever happens or whatever comes in my life, then it expresses the righteousness of God. He is right. And so this is what that we must realize, and we will find that Job realized this on over here. And so we get into trouble if we try to justify ourselves where we are now. Verse 35, Job has spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. Now, here is something. Job says this right out in the open on over here a little bit. And I think that this is a wonderful attitude and a wonderful thing for us. And that is, sometimes God reveals wonderful truths unto us that they have not been worked in our lives. Now, don't draw back from talking about the revelations that God has given unto you. But at the same time, don't be surprised when he starts making them practical in your life, too. And so you see here, he says that Job has spoken without knowledge. He's just heard of these things, but he doesn't really know them. Well, God reveals truth unto us sometimes, but we don't really know what it means until we've experienced it. And so he says, his words are without wisdom. My desire is that Job may be tried in the end because of his answers for wicked men. And so you see, he was his answers to wicked men, and boy, don't you know this made those three comforters feel good? Because they're the people that Job was answering. And yet Elihu calls them wicked men. And his answers were justifying himself rather than God. And this is what Elihu was talking about. He had rebellion unto his sin. And so he says, Job, you've rebelled against God. And this is a mighty harsh statement, or a hard statement, against Job. But nevertheless, it seems that Job had rebelled against God as to God allowing this to come his way. You mean, Lord, after all the good I've done, you're going to let this come over here on me? You don't have any right to do that. Now, I haven't done anything wrong. See, this was the attitude the man had. And I tell you, I walk kind of softly when I say things like that because, well, if you hadn't got that, you will. Because these same things can come up in our lives, and our attitudes will be weighed too. And so we must profit from Job. All right, so he adds rebellion unto his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. And so there's things that that we must realize and take into account as we go on and study about Job. Well, we'll take about 5 minutes and come back to chapter 35. Now, with Job, he seems to me just such an easy man to identify with and sympathize with. And for a little while in here, you might think that God is against him, but God is very much for the man. You read over in the book of Hebrews how that it says that you've heard of the patience of Job, and how that the Lord was very, I think it uses the word pitiful, tender mercies toward him. And this is really what it was with Job. So in, chapter 35, this man Elihu spoke over and said, "Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou said, my righteousness is more than God's?" And this is what Job said by his actions when he said that intimated, God doesn't have any right to do this. Well, Job, are you more righteous than God? Are you going to tell me that you're more right about what you think than God is about what he's doing? And so this is a very important thing for us, is to accept things from the hand of the Lord rather than the hand of people. And when you realize it's from the hand of God, he can't be wrong. There's no way. And so this is what, of course, Job had to realize. Verse 16, Job opens his mouth in vain. He multiplies words without knowledge. And this is said of Job a number of times. Elihu proceeded and said, "Suffer me a little. I will show you that I have yet to speak in God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, ascribe righteousness to my Maker. True to my word shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee." And chapter 37, read in verse 1, "At this also my heart trembles and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, the sound that goes out of his mouth. He directs it under the whole heaven, the lightning under the ends of the earth." Verse 5, "God thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things does he." Verse 6, "He says to the snow, be on the earth, to the rain, and the great rain of his strength." And in all of this, we find that Elihu begins to declare the majesty of God, even by creation and things of this nature, and literally saying, "Well, Job, you don't have any right to say some of the things," and intimate that God is wrong and that he doesn't know what he's doing and he's not right about what he's doing in your life. Verse 23, "Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respects not any that are wise of heart." Now, the next thing that we notice here is that Job does not answer Elihu back. And so it seems that Job knew that this man was indeed sent from God, that he was of a higher quality and caliber than what those other three were. But in chapter 38, the Lord answered Job, and one rendering of that is the Lord answered for Job out of a whirlwind. It says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Well, this is the same thing that Elihu said, and he is referring unto Job, that Job actually is talking about things that he doesn't fully understand. And we undoubtedly do the same thing so many times. Well, what is important is that God wants us to understand what we do say. If he gives us revelation of the truth, he wants us to know that by experience in our lives. And so this is what he did for Job. Verse 3, gird up your loins like a man. I will demand of you and answer me, Job. You've answered these other characters. Now answer me. And so then he begins to, poor old Job, I just have to feel sorry for the man. Because, well, I think you'll understand what I'm talking about as we go through there. Job was already low, and now then it seems like he's making him lower, because listen to this. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who laid the measures thereof that thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Verse 8. Who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as it, if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling band for it. Verse 16, have you entered in the spring of the sea? Have you walked in search of the depth? Verse 18, if thou perceive the breadth of the earth, declare if thou knowest it all. Verse 21, knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Job, are you so old that you can come up and tell me all of these different things? And you remember that Job said, the cause which I knew not, I searched out, and he was very open concerning these things. Well, in short, God is just saying, Job, who are you? Well, after he gets through, Job don't really know. And I tell you, I think we come to the same place. Verse 35, can you send lightnings that they may go and undo thee, and say that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Verse 37, who can number the clouds in wisdom? Who can stay the bottles of heaven? Verse 39, will you hunt the prey for the lion or fill the appetite of the young lions? Now, everything that God says here, he knows and he can do. And so he's comparing Job with himself. Verse 31 of chapter 39, knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth, or when they, can you mark when the hinds calve? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Chapter 40. Verse 1, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contend with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer it. Job, are you going to instruct me in what I'm doing? And so it seems that Job was doing this. Verse 3, Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Well, you see the difference in his answer unto his comforters and his answer unto God. And so we find that this is the way God does us. He comes to us, and when we get in the presence of God. Well, now, Job was not vile, according to God's testimony of him. But you see, he just felt so little and so insignificant as to what God was saying. Well, God was not through with him yet. And he said, verse 8 is one of the real secrets of this book. Will you disannul my judgment? Job, are you going to ask me what I'm doing in your life by allowing this? Are you going to tell me that I'm unrighteous? Are you going to come and ask me if I have any right to do this? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? Are you going to tell me, Job, that you're right and I am wrong for allowing this in your life and doing this? Well, verse 9, he begins to, again, do you have an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like him? Verse 13, hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Now, here again, you see he points to Job's self-sufficiency. And Job was. We saw that a little bit a little while ago, that Job was very self-sufficient and indeed self-righteous. And in verse 15, behold now behemoth which made with thee, he eats grass like an ox. His strength is in his loins, his force in the navel of his belly. He moves his tail like a cedar. Verse 18, his bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars. Verse 23, he drinks up a river, he hastes not, he trusts he can draw up Jordan into his mouth, he takes it with his eyes, his nose pierces through snares. Now, God is saying to Job, now you, it is thought that this behemoth is the elephant. And God is saying here is, these that are so much bigger and mightier than Job, and yet God made them too. And so he had control over them. And so what he's saying, Job, do you have control over them?